Praise the Lord, family. It's Mama T. How you doing? God bless you. I hope you're having a great day or evening. Anyway, I am here and I thank the Lord and give him all the praise and the glory. Hey, I'm on this series about the reality of sin, and this is the second part. And today I'm going to talk about and answer a question. If we are born in sin, how is it fair for God to judge us for our sins? Now, if you listen to the last episode, you can go to www.lovebyexample.com. I went in kind of detail about what sin is and the origin of it, how it got started and stuff. So I won't spend a lot of time on that. So you have to listen to that. Just go back at our website and find the reality of sin, number one. This is number two. So a common accusation against Christianity is that it unfairly judges people. In particular, some people say that God sets up us for failure and then punishes us for the failure that he caused. Is that true? Well, if that were true, it would indeed be an unfair situation. In that, the way Christianity works, or is that the way Christianity works? Sorry, can you read my own notes? But God is not unfair. He is a righteous judge. And he would be unfair if he was to judge us for something really that we had no control over. That would be unfair. But that's not God. And so we're going to find the answer in the Bible. Okay? So to begin with, let's first find out what the Bible says about us being born in sin. Okay? Now, David, the man after God's own heart, wrote in Psalms 51:5, he says, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." And then the Apostle Paul, he wrote that we all that desire the cravings of our sinful nature, and that's in Ephesians 2:3. And that basically means that there's something inside us, something that draws us, that pushes us and draws us towards sin. Now let me go to Romans 7, my favorite chapter. It's becoming one of my favorite, along with all the others. But Romans 7, I'll just say right here, it needs to be so magnified and explained. And I think if you look at on our webpage, you'll find some stories about Romans 7. But right here, look what it says in Romans 7. Let me just read verse 17 and 20. Paul says now, this is the Apostle Paul born again. He's gotten out of sin and he's in Christ, but he's still struggling with the remaining residue of that sin in his body. So he says here, he says, well, let me read 15. He says, "For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." And look what he says, 17. "But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." Now look at this, verse 18. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells." He goes, "But for the will is present with me, but how to perform it I do not find." And then he says right here in verse 20, "Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." And then in 21 he says, "I see another law," or "I find another law." But then in 22 he says, "But I delight in the law of God according to the inner man, the new nature." And then he goes on until he finds the answer is in 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ, so that with my mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Brothers and sisters, we as born-again believers are still born again, but we live in a contaminated, sinful body, sin. And remember we talked about sin on the last episode. Sin is transgressions against God's law. It's thinking against God's law. It's feeling against God's law. It's deciding against God's law. And it is acting against God's law. Everything starts with a thought. And we said it began with Lucifer in Isaiah 14, where he decided he was going to be like God. He wanted to be like the Most High. And he got kicked out of heaven, came to earth, and then in Genesis 3, he tempted our first parents, Adam and Eve, to say, "You can be like God." And, you know, Tony Evans has a great book called God Cannot Be Trusted, because he has six major lies that Satan tells and told back in the garden, and he still tells today. Like, Satan doesn't exist. God's holding out on you. God can't be trusted. Sin has no consequences, or you'll be just like God. And if it feels good, do it. That's what Satan wants us to believe and exercise and practice them. So, but Romans 7 says that after we've been born again, you still have this inner turmoil, this inner war, warring against the law of your mind. And it's like Galatians 5:19, the flesh lusts against the spirit. So that's the spiritual inner warfare that we have. And Romans 7 does a great job. The Apostle Paul does a great job of showing us these two actors that are competing and fighting against each other. But see, we have one new nature as children of God, but we still have the sin principle. We don't have two natures competing against each other. No, we are one new creation, one new nature, divine nature, that has the power and the ability with those four P's, our new position, power, performance, and presence, to overcome any sinful, toxic thought that comes to us, that turns into a habit. We still have the power to break that, because it's resurrection power. Power that Romans 6 says is power that we can walk in the newness of life. So we need to understand that we're not victims. We are overcomers because we have this new nature. We've been born again. The very essence of our being has been changed and transformed out of sin into Christ Jesus, into the light of God. So the Bible certainly does teach that we are born in sin. Our first birth, we were born in sin. But our second birth for the believer, you're born in Christ. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. So did God just kind of decide, people say, did God just decide to pick people who are going to be born sinful? Well, the answer is found, as I said earlier, and it's connected with first Adam. We were all born in sin, okay? And listen to this. Adam, when Adam was created without sin by God and placed into this perfect garden, he was also given a simple law in Genesis 2:16-17. And there were two trees. God says, out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, do not eat it. And he said, but the tree of life, go for it freely. That's in Genesis 2:16-17. But Adam disobeyed God's law, and God had to pronounce a guilty judgment on him and sends him and the whole human race into death. Now remember, death is separation from God. Now, even though Adam and Eve didn't die immediately physically, because it was something like 900 years Adam lived, but guess what? The separation, because that's what death is, from the living God and all his beauty, perfect beauty that he had for them, that had been severed because of their disobedience. So Adam's choice to disobey made him guilty before God, and he became the father, Adam was, the father of the human race, okay? And his traits were passed on to his children's 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 children, and on to us. That's Romans 5:12. And that says that the sin entered the world through Adam, and death came through sin because all have sinned. So as descendants of Adam, we receive the sin nature passed down to us from our fathers. That makes us born in sin with a natural inclination, that inward battle, that evil within us to sin, to do wrong. And that's what Paul said. He said he hated it when he did wrong. But he said, I agree with the law of God that it is good. And so he said, you know, he was just having this horrible war. Because in verse 24, he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And then he says, I thank God. See, he hadn't quite found the solution there from being double-minded. But in this passage, he did. And the rest of it was history, because he became a mighty man of God. Because he learned how to fight the real enemy in those toxic thoughts and lies and emotions and Satan, and how to bless the Lord and be about the Father's business no matter what. Amen, amen. So we have this inclination to do wrong still yet in our body, in our brain. That's why we die. We can't take this body to go to heaven. We're going to get a brand new body and a brand new brain and a brand new soul and a brand new everything's going to be brand new. But some might argue that we cannot choose our family, so God cannot hold us accountable for the sin nature. While we might not have any choice about how we were born or who we were born with, the Bible is clear that we do have the choice about our sins. So we can choose. Now remember, sin is a thought. Sin is thinking thoughts that are contrary to God and then acting on them. Okay, now remember the Beatitudes. I have a series on the Beatitudes. I did an overview on that. That Jesus came to correct the attitudes that people are having towards God, towards each other, and towards sin. And so he says, these are the attitudes that you should have. Because people will say, hey, you shouldn't kill people. You shouldn't commit murder. But Jesus said, but I say, if you even think and be angry about a person, it's as if you committed murder in your heart. Not if, you did commit murder in your heart. So Jesus is not just talking about the outward performance and behavior. He's talking about the thought life. And the only way we can have a pure thought life, we have to be born again and set our minds on the thing of God moment by moment. And when we do sin, and we will sin, we go to God, repent, and ask for his forgiveness, thank him for our forgiveness, because it's already there, I should say, and then go on about doing the Father's will, hanging around other people, being in small groups with other people that are like-minded to help you to grow. Because we are part of the family and the body of Jesus Christ. You need one another that think forward in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So we are responsible for our choices of sin. And in Ephesians 2:3, it says that when we gratify the cravings of our sinful nature, that's a choice. When you choose to do something wrong, and you know it's wrong, then you've just chosen to gratify your flesh. Now, when I say flesh, I mean your human, physical parts of yourself. The appetites of your belly that you like. The appetites of the things that you want that could be contrary to God. You're making that choice to do that, but you don't have to. Because you have the power in Christ Jesus to overcome. That's what I've been working on. I'm going to be working on learning how to make wiser, godly, powerful choices on the different foods I eat. Now, we've been eating really good. We got gardens out there. I just made some soup, some mustard green soup from our garden with broccoli, and we got carrots and potatoes. So we're learning how to eat better, but I got to keep on doing that. I got to keep on getting more and more in tune to hearing God's word and choice and choose to eat the foods and drink the things that he wants me to drink that's healthy for this temple, which is his body, so he can continue to use me. Least have he found a castaway. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I think, 27. That you be found a castaway. And a lot of our believers in the body of Jesus Christ that are not taking care of their body, they have been found a castaway. And castaway just means you've been ineffective. You're not effective in the kingdom of God because you're not taking care of your brain and your body by using the word of God, using it, practicing it, performing it. I don't want to be that way. I want to be effective. I just had a birthday. I'm 71. I want to be 81 years old, still on fire, 20 pounds lighter, still filled up with the Holy Ghost and proclaiming the good news of God, writing books and giving seminars and showing people how much God loves them, helping them to walk in their divine destiny. That's what I want to be. That's my goal. I want Christ in Galatians 4:19 to be conformed in me. Because that's the whole purpose of the believer's life, is that Jesus Christ is formed in you. God created us to come into the image, to be in the image of Jesus Christ. Not allow all these toxic thoughts and sinful thoughts and habits and behaviors and attitudes and emotions and carnality. Because it says in Romans 8 that the carnal mind cannot please God. Right here in verse let me find it right here. In verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Here it is. For to be carnally minded is death. There's that death, separation. Physical, fleshly, carnal thinking causes separation from God. But to be spiritual minded is life and peace. So is your life full of life and peace? Do you have? Is your life dominated perpetually with life and peace, abundant life? If it is, that means you're focusing on Christ and who you are in Christ. Because you know what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3? Jesus, see, when we focus on Jesus, when we focus on who we are in Christ, we are focusing on God because Jesus is the express image of God. That's how we give God glory. It's not by all these external things, although they're good. But the root of giving God glory is focusing on who Christ is to you and what God says who he is to God. And he is the express image of God. That gives the glory to God. That's why my book, Do You See What I See? It's all focused on Christ, who we are in Christ. Because then we get to the root of why we were created, and we get to the root with the power to overcome the enemy that tries to deter us from walking in that creation. And then it says, because the carnal mind, look at, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And here's the verse 8 of Romans 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So Adam got into the flesh, didn't please God. It brought separation to him and Eve. It brought death to the whole human race, and we were born in this. But we do have our individual choices of how we get to choose. We're not stuck like this. So God is not only fair, but he's merciful, because that's when he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He did not have to, but he did because he loved us. He is merciful. The Bible is teaching us about personal sin doesn't end with a declaration on man's guilt. Okay? Romans 5 tells us that sin and death entered the world through one man. And that was Adam. We talked about that. Through one man. Let me read this again. Sorry. The Bible teaches about personal sin doesn't end with the declaration of man's guilt. Romans 5 tells us that sin and death enter the world through one man, who tells us of the greatest blessing, which also came through one man. God's gift of grace came through this one man, Jesus Christ. That's Romans 5:15. See? So we have a first Adam, and then we have a second Adam. The first Adam disobeyed, and the second Adam, he obeyed. It's really simple. It's so bottom line. It's like walking in sin or walking in the Spirit. Depending on your own individual ways of how you think you need to do things, your rules, how you like it. Me, myself, and I are the leading and walking in what God's Word says. But you've got to be born again first to get the new nature, that get that born again new spirit inside you, so you have the power to make those wise choices, those godly choices, right? Oh, that's so beautiful. So, brothers and sisters, being born again is a big deal. Oh, it is the biggest deal. I think there needs to be more teaching on what it means to be born again, because that's where we have everything that we need that pertains to this life and godliness. But if we just skip over it, like, oh, just raise my hand, I accepted Jesus, okay, bye, and I go back and I live a double life, or I live a powerless life, or I just live a selfish life, and I'll go to church. Yeah, where you're in control, you know, you're on the throne in your life and not God. That is not affecting anybody around you in a powerful way. It really isn't. And it also causes self-deception and self-righteousness, because Satan feeds on that and our weak areas to make us think we're all right and everybody else is all wrong. I know. I used to be there. I'm not there anymore. Hallelujah. I have left Egypt. Tony has left the building. Okay, anyway. So Romans 5, through Jesus Christ, an overflow to many. Verse 19 says, For just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, talking about Adam, so also through the obedience of the one man, many were made righteous. God is just in applying Adam's sin to the entire human race, and he is just in applying, look at this, the ones complaining about this, he is just in applying Jesus Christ's death to all who received him by faith. See, brothers and sisters, all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You know, and you don't have to work to do that. There's nothing that you have to do to earn that. There's nothing that you have to do to merit that. It's all by grace. It's a gift that God has given us. And all you have to do is believe, number one, the only way you're going to see God, the only way that you're going to be approved by God, the only way that you're going to spend eternity with God is through believing what God says about who Jesus Christ says he is. And he said in John 8, I am that I am. He is God in flesh, reconciling the world to himself. And you have to believe that. That takes faith to believe that. And God is just and righteous to apply Adam's sin to the human race, just as he's just to apply Jesus Christ's death to those who receive him by faith. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, so that the world might through him, hallelujah, would have life through faith in his sacrifice. That's not fair. That is grace. And that's what it says in John 3:16. Mostly everybody knows this verse, but let me read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And listen to this one. I love this one. 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Isn't that beautiful? And in my book, Do You See What I See? On page 25, I have an example of what some people call the sinner's prayer. It's just a prayer where you are talking to God. You admit that you might not know if you're saved, or you might doubt that you're saved because of the way you act. Because, you know, he says you'll know them by their fruits. You know, it's not just being half-hearted with God. You got to, he says, to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him. That's what that means. That means you no longer control the shots in your life predominantly. Now, you're not going to do it 100%. No, we sin every day. And that's why we got the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us every day. But the point of it is, you don't purposely, on purpose, live in sin deliberately. You're not drinking as a perpetual habit. You're not smoking as a perpetual habit. You're not cheating on your wife or your husband. You're not hiding. You don't have all these closets in your, secret closets in your room. And then when you go outside to church, you put on another mask. See, that's, that you have to question your salvation there. And you're not double-minded as a way of life. See, true Christianity is saying, I love this man, Jesus Christ, and God, and I follow them. And I will use my gifts to the best of my ability to let him work through me. That's what my four P's are all about. And if you are, if you have any doubt at all whether you are born again, on page 25, I have a prayer that says something like this. Lord Jesus, please forgive me. I realize I'm a sinner. See? Remember the story of the tax collector and the Pharisee. I realize that I'm a sinner and I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I confess you as Lord and Savior of my life. And I desire to give myself to you and follow you. See? And then I say, thank you for giving me eternal life and adopting me as your child. Please help me to live the rest of my life for you. Amen. So you need to get my book. Do You See What I See? Go to the website and look at page 25. And make sure, because I don't want people to think that they're born again and they're not. I don't want them to think just because they signed a confirmation card at church in the pew, or they went down the aisle and had someone pray over them, or they just raised their hand because everybody else did, and because someone prayed a prayer. No, no, no. I want you to know that you know that you know that you are born again. Because like I say, hell is too long to be wrong. And Satan and sin will do everything they can to deceive you, because that's what they are. They're tricksters. They're magicians. They're deceivers. And sin is Satan's kind of undercover agent, his ally that works with Satan, that works in us. That's that remaining residue of sin. But it's not who we are as born-again believers. Because like a born-again baby, if you are truly born again, you are going to desire the Word of God. Just like a baby, you're going to desire to eat. You're going to desire that milk of the mother. You know, you don't have to force a baby to want to suckle on a mother's breast or to suck on a bottle. It just does it naturally. So that's how you'll know if you're born again. So brothers and sisters, I just pray that you won't let sin, believers, don't let sin hold you back from walking in your destiny if you're born again. And those of you that aren't, say that prayer. Get my book or just go online and just something. Say, cry out to God. You don't have to go online. Just cry out to God and just repent. Repent means you're changing the way you're thinking. You're changing the way you're living. And you need him. Get hooked up with a good Bible-believing fellowship. If you need to hook up with me, just contact me and through our webpage or on Facebook. And we would love to help you. I got to go. I got a song for you. And we'll continue the series on the reality of sin.
No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Our enemies will not prevail. Oh yeah. Through the lightning and the thunder, your light will guide us as we sail. Oh yeah. The music is gonna play, and God, you will have your way. The nations will stand and sing, glory to the King. We'll stand as one in singing. Yeah. We will live in harmony. We will live lives of compassion. Ooh. Lord, to you all praises be.
All praises be.
It's gonna play, and God, you will have your way. The nations will stand and sing, glory to the King. The lost will be drawn to you, their eyes will see the truth. Then we will stand and sing, glory.
Sing glory to